This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Real good, Corey LaJoy. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. This is the Fan Upstate. Some of you want us gone, but we're back. Let's go. That's James Franklin. There's a reason I have that in the old roster.
Is it the W part, Thumia?
W. Win.
Oh, okay.
It's just, dub.
Yeah, it's just
okay. A victory.
All right.
I'll play some audio for you coming up at 8 o'clock on the Audio Blitz, because there's no shortage of it. We've been out 4.5 days. So we got some catching up to do. All right? Like a lot of it.
Do we have any Dabo audio?
We can. Possibly.
Okay. I just, you know.
You know who we'd have audio for? Dabo's BFF. Syracuse head coach Fran Brown.
That's what I wanted to make sure.
I figured. Fran Brown.
Which is like the best sound clip of the entire weekend.
Fran Brown said, Dabo, you're welcome. I got you in. And he did. By the way.
And he did it in like one of your boys kind of way.
It
was great.
For sure. I loved it. By the way, big Fran Brown guy over here. You will also remember who it was that told you the Miami Hurricanes were on upset alert this weekend. That'd be me.
I know what I meant to ask you. Do you still have our predictions from the beginning of the year for the championship games?
I do, and Lonzo is lined up to get a dub. What do we decide we're calling it? If SMU knocks off Clemson, because he predicted the SMU Stangs.
I also predicted Texas would be in the SEC championship. I failed on the Ohio State thing, but you got Oregon there, so you were right. So I mean, you know,
that's correct. I was very wrong on the SEC, though, very wrong. But that's okay. That's why we do this. Accountability matters, people.
Yeah, I'm bringing it up because I was right. So I mean, come on.
I gotta get just the W.
He sounds like MVP.
Little bit. All right. That's James Franklin. I'll tell you why we have that audio coming up a little bit later on the show. Also, the reason that I am all in still, despite another loss, on Kirk Cousins. Because Kirk Cousins put out what he wants to do when he retires from the footballing. And I get it, is all I'm saying. I get it. So we got your audio blitz coming up at 8 o'clock this morning. In the meantime, it is just after 7:04 in the a.m. You have less than 55 minutes until you got to be up and at 'em, until you got to get back to the routine. You had a nice long break. Probably put on 5-6 pounds. Doesn't matter. The grind never stops. Back to work. But see, I know what you're going to do. It takes a little while to get the momentum going, right? To get back into the swang of things, which means you're going to need a break early. And when you take that break, you're going to walk down the hallway. You're going to head over into the break room. You're going to push against that one wall so the boss can't see you out of the corner of his eye while he's in there grinding. You are going to be talking about sports. You are going to be doing this. I taught my nephew the Orange Cassidy thumbs up this weekend. He has a new favorite wrestler.
Does he do it really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
You got to do it. It can't be a quick thumbs up. It's got to be a lazy thumb.
Saturday night, we were at the Madre's house, and the little brother and the sister-in-law brought him over. And I was like, hey, man. And I was totally using him. I'm like, hey, man, you want to watch wrestling with me tonight? And he goes, no, I don't like wrestling anymore, Uncle Rob. And I was like, whoa. What now? And he goes, yeah, I don't like it anymore. And I was like, nah, it's not cool, man. It's not cool. And it turns out that my brother and his wife were like...
The parents.
Yeah, because apparently he had been working on his wrestling moves on the other kids.
Yeah, you got to be...
Yeah.
Yeah, I had to stop watching wrestling around Cameron for a while during a certain period of time. So, yeah.
He was like, no, I don't like it anymore. And I'm like, you don't like it or your parents don't want you to like it. And then my brother was like, well, you know, like we don't want him trying to hit a DDT on Billy the neighbor's kid. People and you know what really, I said? You know what I said to him?
What?
Not my problem.
Well, I get that. And it's not surprising coming from you, but a DDT isn't really used that much anymore. Like a bulldog, not really used that much anymore.
Yeah, it's on that list of moves that used to be considering like devastating, now, and now it's just like a move that happens in a match. You know,
if he's super kicking other 7-year-olds, that's probably a bad thing.
It depends on.
And also amazing if he can. If
was
he
it
has
justified?
That kind of form.
I mean, was it like, did the other kids say something? All right, water cooler, Chi-Chi, top three sports stories that you need to know before you get to the office this lovely Monday.
Stay classy, Rob.
Come December 2nd, 2024. Let's dive right in with item numero uno. The AP top 25 has dropped after week 15, after rivalry weekend in the NCAA, and it shapes up this away. The Oregon Ducks maintain their stranglehold, baby. Now they have all 62 first place votes and remain at number one, but we do have a seismic movement all the way down to number seven. Texas up a spot to number two. Penn State jumps up to number three. Notre Dame moves to four. Georgia now back inside the top five, one spot ahead of Tennessee. It is Ohio State, the biggest mover inside of the top 10. They fall five spots down to number seven after a 13-10 loss at home to the Michigan Wolverines. We will get Lonzo's thoughts on the Lonzo Ohio State University Buckeyes coming up here in a few minutes. The highest-ranked team out of the Atlantic Coast Conference is the SMU Mustangs. Their win this weekend bumps them up a spot to number eight. They stay one spot ahead of number nine, Indiana, and is the Mountain West Conference's Boise State Broncos that round out the top 10. 11 through 15, very interesting. Alabama at 9-3 is number 11, a spot ahead of 10-2 Arizona State, and then 9-3 South Carolina. My question mark would be here. And let me be very clear. This doesn't matter all that much. Really, all that matters is where the final standings are between Bama, Ole Miss, and South Carolina after conference championship weekend. And the reality is, since none of those three are participating in the Southeastern Conference championship game, what Gamecock fans need to know is you're likely behind Alabama in the pecking order. Hey, remember how like the last 3, 4, 5 weeks I've been trying to tell you y'all allowed brand to matter as much as any other metric? You know how I've been screaming at you and you've all said, you're just butt hurt, Rob. Yuck. When I've said brand power is absolutely an equal metric to wins and to heads up matches. Remember how I said that? South Carolina fans, you're in this spot. You're in this spot because Bama does have the heads-up win, but South Carolina has a tougher schedule with an equal record. And here's the fun thing. You can't tell me that this is a ranking based on head-to-head win, great one, because South Carolina is now two full spots ahead of Ole Miss, another team with a head-to-head win over South Carolina. So head-to-head wins aren't the reason that Bama's ahead of South Carolina. And it can't be strength of schedule. It certainly can't be number of ranked wins. And it certainly can't be worst losses. So what is it? Brand power, baby. Arizona State's number 12. South Carolina does check in after the win over Clemson, up three spots to number 13, Miami. After a loss on the road, Rob Brown upset special for the weekend. Syracuse knocks off the Canes. Miami falls to number 14, down six spots. Ole Miss checks in at 15, unmoved. Iowa State up one spot to 16. BYU, despite a win, goes up two spots to number 17. After their loss in the Palmetto Bowl, Clemson tumbles down to number 18 in the rankings. That is six spots below where they were last week at this time. UNLV is 19. Colorado gets a win at 9-3. They are number 20. Your top 25 ends 21 through 25. Illinois, Mizzou, Syracuse jumping into the top 25 with a win over Miami, Army, and Memphis. Just outside of the top 25, Texas A&M, Louisville, Duke, Kansas State, Tulane, LSU, Louisiana Lafayette, Florida, Baylor, and Michigan gets their first vote since week number two. Tulane and Texas A&M are the two teams that dropped out of the rankings from last week. So that's your AP Top 25. We will see how these teams check in tomorrow evening when we get the college football playoff rankings dropping for the first time. Let's get to item number two. Your first NFL divisional winner is the Buffalo Bills. They reach 10-2 and mathematically win the AFC East last night with a 35-10 win over the San Francisco 49ers in a game that many of you incorrectly said was fun to watch. It just wasn't. Josh Allen had himself a night, 13 of 17, a buck 48 and two touchdowns. The passing numbers aren't that incredible, but you add in the fact that Josh Allen had the tutty trifecta. He ran one in, he threw two in, and yes, he also caught a touchdown as well. The tutty trifecta, incredibly rare. Josh Allen, Josh Allen, Josh Allen, Josh Allen picks up an extra Josh Allen for this week and this week only on the name as the Bills win the NFC.
I thought of you last night while watching this, and I realized.
You were like, oh, God.
No, I came to a realization that Rob Brown doesn't like home field advantage. That was my realization
last
night.
No, I do like home field advantage.
No, because you want to eliminate it.
No.
You want to eliminate it from every NFL team.
No,
you
I don't.
Do.
No, I don't.
You do.
No, I don't. No, I absolutely don't.
You do.
I absolutely don't. I still want there to be 80,000 screaming Josh Allen maniacs in that building. I want the fans to have a direct impact on the game.
You're trying to NASCAR NFL. That's what you're trying to do.
What does that even mean?
Trying to put restrictor plates on by making every stadium the same and domed and all that stuff. You're trying to NASCAR it. That's what you're trying to do.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. What I'm trying to do is say that I want the best football players in the world to be able to play the best. Do you know what I saw last night? I saw defensive linemen who were getting their ass kicked every play because they can't get feet in the ground playing. That's not a home field advantage.
That's home field advantage. It is.
All right, fine. Then when the Kansas City Chiefs come down to Jacksonville, Florida next time, I hope Jacksonville goes out there with a tractor and they turn that thing into a mud pit.
Not a good time to be talking about Jacksonville.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay, fine. Tampa. When Kansas City heads down to Tampa, I hope that they go out there and they turn the field into an absolute mud pit.
And I will tell you, if they do, they will have a blast playing in the mud.
I don't care if they have fun. I'm not watching to watch players have fun. I want to watch the best football players in the world play the best football, and it's not happening when they can't stand up good.
Do we have a number three NASCAR?
Josh Allen, Josh Allen, Josh Allen, Josh Allen wins the NFC East last night with a win in Sunday night football over the San Francisco 49ers. Let's move on to item number three. In the first of what I assume will be a litany of fines and punishments handed out around the landscape of college football today. Both Michigan and Ohio State were fined $100,000 yesterday for their roles in the postgame melee following the Wolverines' stunning 13-10 upset of the number 2 Buckeyes at Ohio Stadium. The league said it, quote, considers this matter concluded and will have no further comment, end quote. The league said they do not plan to suspend players for their roles in the fight, and Michigan and Ohio State officials said no individual discipline is being handed out by them at this time. The Big Ten said the teams violated the league's sportsmanship policy and that, quote, not only did the actions of both teams violate fundamental elements of sportsmanship, such as respect and civility, the nature of the incident also jeopardized the safety of participants and bystanders. Ohio State released a statement saying it respects the decision. They said, quote, what happened postgame yesterday was unfortunate. Good sportsmanship is always important in everything we do at Ohio State. Moving forward, we will continue to examine and address our postgame protocols to ensure our student athletes, coaches, visiting teams, and staff safely exit the field. The brawl, of course, started between players from both teams after the Wolverines planted their big blue M flag at midfield in the horseshoe following their fourth consecutive victory over the Buckeyes. The fight lasted for roughly 5 minutes before police officers began to use pepper spray to disperse the mob of players, coaches, and staff. Players and coaches from both teams were left bloodied, and Ohio State University police said one officer was injured. We're going to talk about this whole flag planting thing, because between Ohio State, Michigan, NC State and North Carolina, Florida and Florida State, and almost Texas and Texas A&M, we got a lot of angles to cover.
Arizona and Arizona State, too, apparently.
Oh, did they get into it as well?
There was a pitchfork planted, apparently.
So I want to talk about this a little bit. I want to get y'all's thoughts, because I found yesterday that, Lonzo, you can pretty much anticipate where somebody falls on the is it or is it not okay spectrum, just based on the colors that they wear. So we're going to talk about that coming up here in just a minute from right now, because flag planting and post-game brawls were so hot
so
this weekend.
We're both going to be again it then.
Are you again it?
I think we're, well, you said by the colors that we wear. Yeah,
I think you're again it. And my question, however, is going to be, would you be again it if it was the other way around? We are going to talk about the flag planting and melee epidemic when we come back. We got a bunch of you guys texting the show, 71307. Start your text with FAN, F-A-N. We'll take a look at some of those texts that have come in over the last few minutes. Join us on the live stream at Facebook.com/TheFanUpstate, Twitter.com/TheFanUpstate, YouTube. Search and subscribe to The Fan Upstate. Do the same for The Rob Brown Show on Facebook, on YouTube, and on Twitch. We're back as we roll on through the finest hours of sports talk entertainment you'll find anywhere on The Rob Brown Show in The Fan Upstate. You knew that it was going to be a heated game between the North Carolina State University Wolfpack and the Tar Heels of the University of North Carolina when, briefly into the game, this happened. Everybody caught that smoke. Every player, both teams, that is the ultimate. He was giving him the business.
I think he should have had to name every single player.
Hand me a roster. Unsportsmanlike conduct, number 2, North Carolina. Unsportsmanlike conduct, other number 2, North Carolina. Unsportsmanlike conduct, number 3, North Carolina. Just run them all down. Nope. My man said, everybody catching that smoke. You get that smoke, like Oprah Winfrey and Stripes. Everybody gets some smoke. Well, after that game came to its conclusion, players from both teams found themselves in a bit of a brawl. Because after that dub, a dub that sent Mack Brown's career out on a sour note, as he will not coach in the bowl game for the University of North Carolina. After that went down, the Wolfpack decided that it was a wonderful idea to take a Wolfpack flag and plant it directly square in the UNC logo at half field. You know what happened? A brawl. Half field. Did I say half field? I just said half field, didn't
I? You did.
You know what? It's correct. I'm standing by it.
Okay. I mean, technically, you're right.
Half field. But that was not the only game in which that happened. Early in the day, Lonzo's Ohio State Buckeyes were defeated by the unranked Michigan Wolverines. And after that game was over, a group of Michigan players brought a big blue M flag right to the center of that scarlet O, and they planted it at half field of Ohio Stadium. But that wasn't the only one. At the conclusion of the Florida State contest that evening, a game in which, to the shock of absolutely no one, Florida dog-walked Florida State, a group of Gator players made their way to the middle of the field and planted their flag directly in the center of the Osceola logo at midfield. There were a couple other games where players tried to plant a flag in the field, including Texas A&M, but Steve Sarkisian jumped in front of his guys and said, "No, we're not doing that. Absolutely not. Not happening. No chance. Take it back to the sideline, boys." So, this is one of those conversations. This is one of those moments where I think we talked about having inherent biases earlier in the show. This is one of those moments that I think it is going to shine through. Because I think where you fall on this spectrum is largely in part what side your team was on. The planter or the planted? I think if you're a Buckeye fan, you're probably like, "Yo, that is beyond disrespectful." However, if you're a Michigan fan, you're like, "Show more fight during the game instead of fighting us after the game." If you're a Florida State fan, you're like, "Yo, not cool, dog." Whereas if you're a Florida fan, you're going, "Wait a minute. When y'all win, y'all dance around on the sideline holding a dead gator head up in the air." Like one of the ones you buy from a tour shop. Not like they just went out and chopped the one's head off, but you get
that.
It.
You don't know that for sure, do you?
No, I do. They use the same one every year.
Okay.
They bring it with them.
Which originally could have been a one that they cut off. And because there's a gator like over in our window right over there. And that looked like
sure, that's a baby gator.
It was.
That a baby gaber.
It never lived to be anything other than a baby gator.
That's also true. The point here is,
I don't know that a Seminole fan didn't do that. I mean,
I'm willing to bet that it wasn't. But, you know, who knows? The point here is how you feel about this depends on what end of the spectrum your team was on. Did you do the planting or were you witness to the planting?
I'm curious about something. So back in the day, and I can't remember who it was. For some reason, I want to think it was Dion, but it may not have been. The Dallas Cowboys, someone decided to do something on the star. Do you recall that?
It was Terrell Owens who took out George Teague of the San Francisco, it was Terrell Owens as a 49er who stood center star and did the pose, and it was Teague that came flying in and absolutely crushed him.
Neither one of us Dallas Cowboys fans, so no bias, I'm guessing, although you don't seem to care for Dallas Cowboys fans.
Not a fan.
Were you okay with him being taken out for desecrating the star?
See,
or did you enjoy the fact that he went out there and did that to the star?
I think this is why the conversation is interesting. Because what happens, it, like anything else, this is why I say nuance is important to every conversation. The acceptability to me is on a sliding scale. Does a player standing center, half field and hitting a pose, do I consider that disrespectful, worthy of assault? No, not really. However, the meaning behind planting a flag and doing it dead center of the logo, yeah, I mean, let's keep it a buck. It is the definition of we own you. This is disrespectful. It is why we use the phrase planting the flag when we are talking about complete and total ownership of another team.
Exactly. So here's the thing. So if you and I are doing this show, a three-time award-winning show, and someone from another radio station comes in and decides to plant their flag in the middle of the studio, you're getting these hands. They're old hands. I still always believe I got a little bit of something left in me, and I'm willing to do it towards you if you come in and try to plant the flag. Rob may just watch you. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to beat the mess out of you and kick you and your flag out the studio.
Well, look.
That's what I'm going to do.
We literally, we have a flag in the studio. It's right over there in the corner, okay? And when I brought that flag, for those of you watching on the stream, it's over there. It's in the bottom, bottom right of what you're seeing there. I literally have a Rob Brown Show flag. I've had it for years, and when I moved here, I brought it with me. Well, when I started doing the show initially, and we had a different camera angle on the stream. It was head on. I had it hanging underneath the television down there. Well, another host on the station had a real problem with that. I said, oh, it makes it look like you own the studio. It makes it look like I'm just doing a show in your studio. It makes it look as if my show is secondary
on
the station.
And so the battle began for the studio. And what a battle that was between the two shows about what hung where.
Sure.
And it's no matter what profession you're in, it's territorial, and it becomes a problem. And when you know that what you're doing is, if you're planting the flag, you know what you're going to get. Or do you believe that they're just going to stand by and let you do it? No, you're looking for a fight when you bring the flag out and decide to plant it in the field. Yes, I dumped myself.
I think that when you discuss, when you talk about the concept of
staking
the flag.
Baker Mayfield did it, and if I recall, there might have been a fracas when Baker Mayfield did it on the Ohio State field.
So the conversation about planting a flag is a conversation about sportsmanship and respect and all that. Planting the flag is the ultimate disrespect. It just is, inherently. When I put that flag, which is now over in the corner under the TV, and I put it there for a reason. I put it there so when we were doing the stream from a different camera angle, it was very prominent. And before we had all this break screen tech that we have now, when we just had to leave the stream up and running, whenever I would get up and walk away during a show, that flag basically was what you saw. And another host said, no, dude, it makes me look like I'm second place in the studio. It can't be there. And I said, okay.
Yeah, the South Carolina Broadcasters Association took care of that.
Now that flag hangs over in that corner. And it does so because the host of the other show and I had a conversation about it. And we said, well, here's the solution. I film my camera angle from the side so that it looks over in that corner, and that's why the Charlotte FC stuff is over there, and that's why my flag is over there, so that when our camera angle's on, you see the Charlotte FC stuff, you see the Rob Brown Show flag, and when they come in and they use a different camera angle, you see the wall behind them, right? So the whole concept of having a flag, which is the ultimate symbol of your thing, right? When you go plant that at midfield, I'm not going to say good, bad, ugly, indifferent, whatever. What I'm going to say is, you know it's a fight. You know it's a fight. I mean, this is like the fact that anybody was shocked about this being a fight. blows my mind. It was always going to be a fight. There's no way around that. It was always going to be a fight.
I wonder who the first team was who did this, because this has been going on forever. It just seems like we saw it happen a bunch over the weekend. I don't recall this many teams trying to do it in the same weekend.
Well, I Baker did it. Then it kind of became a little bit of a thing. I looked at, who was it? I think South Carolina, when they won that game at Clemson 2 years ago, they planted a flag on the paw. And then, you know, there was all this talk about disrespect and the rivalry and all that. This is just, it's something that's happened, though it was prominent this week. And I think once Michigan and Ohio State did it and it became a big fracas this weekend, I think a lot of rivals looked and it went, oh, that got them real heated. That got them real mad. Not that it started a fight, but clearly it PO'd the Buckeyes. It just illustrated how big of a disrespect it was. And in a rivalry game, we spend so much time talking bleep back and forth that the disrespect almost feels encouraged. Like, I'm not shocked that a bunch of 18 and 19-year-olds figured out that if they plant a flag on their opponent's logo, the opponents get real mad about it and said, that's a reason to do it. All right, we can talk more about this coming up. Rob Alonso with you, the Rob Brown Show, the Fan Upstate. So here's a text that says the statement that I heard a lot of times after the whole flag planting incident epidemic this weekend. Texter said, Rob, if Ohio State showed that much fight during the game, they would have won.
That, and if they had a kicker who didn't go wide right and then wide left, and if they had a new offensive coordinator who understood, hey, we can't run up the middle, to the point where the fans are booing every time they ran up the middle when they were able to, or if maybe they didn't have a quarterback who looked like he was just out of place during that day. So there are a lot of things. But in the end, I don't care if you ain't won a game all year. Don't plant the flag on someone's logo. That's just, it's lame, it's childish, and you're asking for a fight, and you got one, and why whine about it? This is what you wanted, and you got it. I still think the pepper spray was a little ridiculous.
The cops were straight up pepper spraying dudes.
Well, from what I understand, it also, because of wind and things like that, the pepper spray hit some other people. Like some girls that were down there, some family members and stuff like that.
I'm sure a lot of people got pepper sprayed that really had nothing to do with what happened.
You ever been pepper sprayed before?
I have not.
I've gotten maced, but not directly. We were at a bowling alley, and some wonderful genius decided to just run down through the lane and just spray mace. And I got a little bit of the cloud. It was not pleasant.
I'm sure it's not. I've never heard anybody say, hey guys, what are you doing? Let's go pepper spray ourselves this weekend. I'm sure it is used because of its, again, assuming unpleasantness. I am actively avoiding being pepper sprayed. So far, so good. So far, so good. I think this is where I'm going.
You never know. Some late night.
You might
make a wrong choice.
You know? I think this is where I'm going to land on the whole thing. The planting of a flag in an opponent's logo is, I don't care where you come from, the ultimate sign of disrespect. It just is. It is one thing, for instance, and I'm trying to come up with metaphors and analogies that maybe take us out of the football world and into real life. It is the difference between a dude coming up to you and going, hey, man, your wife's hot. I would bow chick a bow wow with her. I'd shefty your wife. And a dude coming up and slapping your wife on the buttocks. One of those things, as your attorney, which I am not, One of those things, I would advise you to just go, whatever, psychopath, and walk away. The other thing, I'm not going to judge you if you slug that dude in the jaw. You understand? Like, you see where the difference is? They are both in practice.
Yeah, slug them. Slug them.
They are both in practice the same thing, right? In practice, it is disrespecting you, your wife, and your relationship. But there is one that is levels of disrespect above the other. It is one thing, say, for the Wolverines to, and here we'll go to the source here. I'll get Lonzo in here. Lonzo, if you're watching and Michigan upsets Ohio State, and a bunch of Wolverines run out to midfield, and let's say they're just waving the flag standing on the 50. That's not a reason to go. But the minute that they spike that thing into the turf, now it's a reason to go. Is this primitive, barbaric, old school, whatever you want to call it? Yeah, sure. Sure.
Yeah, it's football. I mean, the only thing more barbaric than football is hockey. Maybe rugby.
Maybe.
Because
actually, I'm going to say no to rugby because even the rivals, there are things called drink ups after rugby matches, which is just where both teams in their entirety go to the bar and hammer beers together.
Well, I'm throwing hockey in there because fighting is encouraged and it's part of the game.
It is.
So
I
not that there's anything wrong with that. I mean, it's part of the game.
I
a good face off and so, spotlight and all that kind of stuff.
I would land on this. I'm not going to petition for a rule against it. I'm not going to sit here and say that it should be outlawed or whatever. I'm just simply going to say, and I think this is a message I would send to a head coach. I think this is a message I would send to an athletic director. I think I would send this message to anyone who has control over the players, is an authority figure in the players' landscape. My message would be this. They're gonna go if you do it. End of story. They're gonna, if you have the boys head out to the 50 and spike your logo on a flag into their field, they're gonna go. Now, here's a very interesting difference in the reactions of two head coaches. Ryan Day, when all this was happening, after his team lost to Michigan. And let's call it a buck. Ryan Day is not a dumb man. Ryan Day knew exactly what that loss meant. Lonzo, if Ryan Day does anything less than win the Natty this year, is he cooked in Columbus?
Yes.
Yeah. Even if he wins the Natty, he's safe.
He's like 41-7 yep. against, 47-1 or yep. something like that against
everybody else.
Yep.
But he's what, 2-4 against Michigan?
1-4
against yeah. Michigan. They've won 4 in a row. Ryan Day's cooked in Ohio State. I think it's silly, but Ryan Day's cooked at Ohio State unless he wins an
Natty. You should see my Facebook page of all my guys back in Ohio.
Oh, I know.
Oh, they thought he should have been gone.
I thoroughly enjoyed Buckeye Twitter on Saturday night because it was in complete meltdown mode, right? Ryan Day's cooked at the end of the year, and I know.
My wife was like, they need to fire Chip Kelly. She was very unhappy.
I believe it. Buckeye social media was a wreck. I am aware of the consequences of Ryan Day losing this game. And I think Ryan Day was too. Ryan Day now knows it's Natty or fired for him in Columbus, right? So there was a video of Ryan Day. As the fight is happening, Ryan Day is standing off to the side on the sideline with his hands on his hips while all this is going. And I saw when it happened. There was a close-up on his face as an assistant coach is running by him to get out onto the field and either engage in or try to break up the melee between the two teams. Ryan Day, as this coach runs by, very clearly says, "What happened?" He has no idea what's going on. None. Not a great look for a guy who just lost 13-10 for the fourth time in a row to Michigan. Then on the flip side, there was Mike Norvell down at Florida State. opposite end of the spectrum in terms of coaching results. They're 2-10, the single worst performance in the history of Florida State football. They're 2-10. Well, after the game was over, Florida Gator players made their way to the Osceola logo at midfield and went to spike a flag. Norvell ran off the sideline, ran out to midfield, got into the face of Florida head coach Billy Napier, who was going to shake his hand, and was like, bro, not cool, man. This is not all right. What you are allowing your players to do right now is not okay. It's bull bleep. By the way, my soundboard's not working, so I can't hit my bleep button. It's bull bleep. And then Norvell ran over.
On and up. So
It's the actual program. Okay. Norvell said to Napier, this is not acceptable. I'm paraphrasing. I don't know exactly what he said. But I do know he said, it's bull bleep. And then he turned, he ran, he grabbed the flag from a Florida player, and he, great one, chucked that flag over to the sidelines like he was trying to set an Olympic,
javelin.
Yeah. An Olympic javelin world record. It's unbelievable. Right? The difference in reaction. Difference in coaching results too, right? Here's Ryan Day. He's 10-2. Yeah, they lost that game. Yeah, they lost their chance at a Big Ten championship game, but they're going to the playoffs. They are in the playoffs, inevitably.
Everyone says that, but we don't know that for sure.
No, I'm telling you, you're in the playoffs. 10-2 out of the Big Ten, even if you don't go play for it. You're in the playoffs. You may be like the 9 or 10 seed, but you're in. Ryan Day's team's going to the playoffs. Florida State just had the worst season they have had since 1974. And Mike Norvell went out there and he grabbed the flag and chunked it to the sideline. And again, because subjectivity, everybody's got their own opinion on who's right and who's wrong. And whether this should be allowed and whether this should not be allowed. But I find it very interesting that people were shocked by this. People were shocked. And again, athletes are constantly copying other athletes. This is why every year we have one end zone celebration that becomes the thing. A few years back, it was the gritty, right? And every NFL player who scored was doing the gritty. Now this year we had
That was not the gritty, by the way.
I'm 40. I don't know how to do it.
I mean, it's...
I can still floss, though.
Okay, all right.
They hit the gritty. And yes, this is part of the gritty. I can't do the skippy thing, but this is part of the gritty.
That is not what you did.
Yes, it is!
You did this.
No,
you
did not. Went,
okay.
I threw all the right. eye, Matt. You got to get the goggles on.
You go back and watch the video.
The point here is, athletes copy each other. And I absolutely think that when Ohio State and Michigan started the day off with a flag plant fiasco, that the other teams, because they're not disconnected from the world, the other teams saw
it. See, that part bothers me because I think they are to a degree on game day. But I could be wrong.
No, I am watching players put up tweets on game day. Now, I think they probably disconnect a couple hours out, but the teams that were playing at 7 o'clock, They're not off Twitter, all right?
So are the coaches.
Unless you got Nick Saban, you ain't off Twitter.
So are the coaches aware? If they are, then why wouldn't coaches have a talk with their players and go, hey, this just happened. We are not doing this.
This is part of the conversation for me. Like I said, if I was going to send out a message, the message would not be to players. The message would not be to officials. The message would be to head coaches and athletic directors and say, look, I'm not telling you what to do, what not to do. You run your team how you see fit. Just be aware that if your team plants the flag at the 50, there's going to be a fight. Because, again, half the people in America are saying, hey, if you don't want it to happen, put up more of a fight in game, right? Go win the game. If you win the game, they can't plant the flag. And half the people in America are saying this is wildly disrespectful. And the reality is my opinion on the matter is irrelevant. It's irrelevant how I feel about it.
You want to solve this problem, it's pretty easy, okay? In the age of NIL, instead of finding the teams, find the players.
We're not there
if we start finding the players and they go, oh, wait, I lose $100,000 if I plant this flag. I ain't doing that.
The minute that you start fining players is the minute that you are acknowledging that they have to, you cannot fine them without getting into the collective bargaining sphere. Now, there was a conversation that was going on this weekend that I do think that we have to talk about. But you're not going to fine players without paying players.
Don't you think that that would be a deterrent? If you know you're going to get fined.
It doesn't matter. You can't do it. This okay. is like saying, this is
you
like
can,
saying.
You can do it. You absolutely can do it.
You can.
And they are getting paid by someone.
Legally, you cannot fine a player if you are not providing the players
you
the money.
You said earlier you're not a lawyer. So how am I supposed to
believe I don't that? Need to you be know. A lawyer to know that if you're doing 65 and a 55, you're speeding and it's illegal. It's just common sense.
Even if there's not a cop around?
Yes, you're still breaking the law, brow, and you're still subject to fines if you get caught. But that's not what this is. This is not the legal system. Blah, 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 blah. Point is, I'd be going to the coaches, I'd be going to the 80s, and I'd be going, look, dude, you do what you need to do, but you know if you plant a flag, the boys are scrapping. You know if you plant a flag, there's fisticuffs. Here's a couple of texts that have come in real quickly before we go to the break. Texter says, only an AD that listens to fans would fire a coach that wins as much as Ryan Day, but eventually all ADs listen to the fans. We're going to come to that.
I was going to say, very true, by the way.
Absolutely. Texter said, figure out a more creative way to celebrate than planting a flag. Maybe leave some gag gift in the locker room or something, but stop the flag planting.
Yeah, make sure the water doesn't work or paint the locker room pink or something like that. I mean, something.
Again, none of that's... go disrespect. That is the difference between, hey man, I'd chef to your wife and walking over and slapping her on the butt, right? Like one of those I'm scrapping, one of those I'm going, all right, psycho, and we're walking away. Texter said, if Ohio State showed that much fight during the game, they would have won. Yeah, maybe. Texter said, it is crazy to think that every show will talk about flag planting when we just had the first real parody-filled season for college football. I would love to talk about how NIL may have just evened the field. We are going to get to that coming up later in the show. Texter said, Rob, speaking as a Seminole fan, it was more nuanced for FSU. We plant a spear for a reason. UF was more disrespectful than that. Is that hypocritical? Florida State planting a spear at the 50 versus a flag at the end of the game. Texter said, Rob, recent history suggests Michigan owns Ohio State. Why waste time planting a flag? LOL, Ryan Day coaches for Michigan. Ha ha. He actually typed ha ha.
By the way, that texter is absolutely correct. Everything they just said.
Texter said, and this is true, Sir Big Spur pooped on the paw so much better than a flag. Love it. That's from K-Man.
Did he actually do it? Or was it? Okay, well.
They walked after everybody cleared the field. They walked Sir Big Spur out there. He absolutely dropped a deuce on the 50, and then they just walked away. Which I get it. Bird poop's liquidy, right? It's not like a dog where it's like you got to grab the little bag and do the, you got to use the hand through the bag and flip it inside out.
Also, he's a fighting gamecock. You probably don't want to fight that bird. I'm just saying.
I don't know if the bird is like, leave it. Leave it. I don't know.
You don't know that he didn't either.
Texter said, Rob, I don't care. Plant the flag on my field if you beat me on my field, especially if it's multiple years in a row. I deserve the disrespect. That's from UNC Chris. All right. Keep those thoughts coming. 71307 is the text line. Start your text with Fan FAM. We'll read them on the air. We're back after this. Lonzo, however, is about to seduce you with this sports flash.
I'm not going to plant my flag, though, because, you know. I left it at home. The Rob Brown AP poll this week.
How is it my poll?
It's your poll. Because it's only relevant to you. The Oregon remains... Well, the poll tomorrow matters more. Okay, whatever. Oregon remains number one, followed by Texas, Penn State, Notre Dame, and Georgia. Tennessee checks in at six, while Ohio State falls five spots to number seven. SMU, Indiana, and Boise State round out the top 10. South Carolina jumps three spots to number 13 ahead of Miami, who fell six spots to 14. Clemson checks in down six spots at 18 after the loss to the mighty Gamecocks of South Carolina. The Buffalo Bills became the first divisional winner in the NFL last night, clinching the AFC East with a 35-10 win over San Francisco. Josh Allen threw for two touchdowns, ran for one, and caught one. Tune in this Wednesday at 6:30 as the Furman Paladins take on the Florida Gulf Coast Eagles right here on the Fan Upstate.